Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
Our reading this morning, can you hear me? Our reading this morning is from Exodus chapter 20, beginning at verse 18. When the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you, so that the fear of the Lord will be with you to keep you from sinning." The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites this. You have seen for yourselves that I have spoken to you from heaven. Do not make any gods to be alongside me. Do not make for yourselves gods of silver or gods of gold. Make an altar of earth for me and sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, your sheep and goats and your cattle. Wherever I cause my name to be honored, I will come to you and bless you. If you make an altar of stones for me, do not build it with dressed stones, for you will defile it if you use a tool on it. And do not go up to my altar on steps, or your private parts may be exposed."
Morning. Well, no one can ever accuse God's word of not being straight to the point. I love the Bible. You know, it's just not a religious book. God says, "Look, you know, I really care about every detail," and there you go. Congratulations and well done, Emma, on reading that. And it's only on the internet for everyone to hear. But it's in the Word of God, and he's preserved that. I think it's been a beautiful, what I love about this, the church here, and if it's my public input, if you want, for some of the things we want you to share, I love the diversity that we have. So if you're a visitor there, you might think, oh, it's fairly reflective and subdued. Now you might come on another week and we are kind of, you know, tearing up the stage and there's other things going on. And it reflects the diversity of a beautiful family. And I think the Lord really, what I sensed at the back there is that he wants our attention. Sometimes we just need to reduce stuff. And occasionally he says, but I really need your attention. I remember when I became a believer at 16 years old, just learning the chorus, "I want to walk with Jesus Christ." And I didn't know what that really meant. And I thought, well, does that mean physically, literally, I see him or whatever? And I just really started to learn about what it meant from the very beginning to follow Jesus. So I never really responded to a kind of guilt message, kind of some sort of message about sin management. And then you live a life of God management where you invite him to manage, to kind of like do what you want him to do in your life. That was never what the message I responded to. It was much more than that, about his love and what he'd done for me, and that he wanted me to follow him. I want to walk with Jesus. And so I'm going to pray and then just ask the Lord to come. We need his help with his word, and just ask the Lord to just really come and just, what's he saying to us about being a follower of his son? What does it mean? Really, my heart forever. Lord, would you come now? Take your place. I've just sung that, Lord, stood at the back. I have just sung, "Take your place. Rule in my heart forever. And Lord, yet I stumble out of here and I stumble in the week. So might it be you give me a picture of what it means to walk with you.
to honor you in my life today for your glory in Jesus' name. You see, we can, when we're looking at walking with Jesus, we can make this a bit of a formula. And sometimes we need reminders. I'm kind of jealous of the Anglican community with the Common Book of Prayer. It's a great book. There's a general confession in there. In fact, I'm going to say a bit of an extract at the end. Hopefully we'll say it together. A bit of an extract from the general confession. And it's really good. And part of that is it says things like, Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much of the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done. And we have done those things which we ought not to have done. Now, if you've been to any sort of service, you probably said that in some form or other. And I really like it. It's really important, though, that that's said in the context of everything else that's often said within an Anglican service, because actually, one of the great dangers of actually having this kind of God and me thing, this real distance, it can put a real distance. You know, we are worms. Has anyone ever heard that expression? It's a really old-fashioned thing. You know, if you're a fisherman, you probably don't like saying it. But, you know, there's this kind of thing that is true, but we can focus a lot on the fact that we are so awful and so terrible that, God, it's just, I'm just amazed you actually want me to sit in the seat here today. You know, that sort of thing. Now, if you look at the whole confession in the Common Book of Prayer, it doesn't do that, and we'll do a couple of parts which balance that up. But it's so important for us that we really understand, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? But what's really happened to us, we're going through the book of Exodus, including these really awkward verses that have just been read. And we're doing that because what we want to do is we want to kind of get to the heart of the Father who has always called the people to himself. God doesn't change the way he works with people through the centuries. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so the way he views us, the way he loves us, the way he serves us, and the way he calls us to walk with him is the same in Exodus as it is in the Gospels, as it is in Paul's letters. But the trouble with that is we've created something that actually means we can believe some statements of faith. And this is a real problem for the Western church. We've created something that says you can believe these things, but nothing has to change. And this is the real problem. We've got rid of what you'd call the discipleship gospel, and we've developed something that says, just believe this statement. It's a sin management thing that, you know, Christ died on the cross for you. He did, hallelujah. He lived that life and he rose again, and we are excited about that. And that is a part of the gospel, but actually, when we see scripture, God always calls people to follow him. It's about a life of transformation. So what we've been trying to do for a whole year, and I know some of you still have questions about this, and that's great. The disciples had questions, and they were walking with Jesus every day, and he says, you've been with me so long, and you still don't understand what I'm trying to do. Because one of the problems is because of our school, where we've come from, is we find it hard to see anything differently. And we're trying to dispel the myth with our Exodus series that you can be a Christian without following Jesus. And that is a myth. It really, really is. And last week we looked at the importance of possessing a fear of the Lord, and we spoke about two types of fear. We said there's an unhealthy fear that the Bible talks about. It's a scared fear that stops us in our tracks. I'm not good enough. God couldn't possibly use me. He can't possibly love me after I've let him down so often. And I keep doing the same things. This is an unhealthy thing. And what John says in 1 John 4 is if we focus on his great love toward us, perfect love drives out fear. Isn't it wonderful? However, we saw last week that Moses said to the people, don't be afraid, don't have that sort of unhealthy fear, but fear the Lord. So last week, we won't do it again this week, we asked the question, what does it mean to fear the Lord? To awesomely respect his, who he is. And this is the kind of tension that I struggle with. And I think we struggle with, can I say in the free church? Because what we can do is there can be a sort of flippancy around how we approach our Savior and King. Yet we also want to be embraced and walk with him. You don't tend to walk with people who are far too important to be with us. And so as this walking gives us this beautiful picture of the relationship Jesus wants with us. But can I keep in the back of my mind that he's the awesome King? And that really checks me regularly. And so we saw the importance of that. And really, he desires that we walk with him. And I just wanted to ask the question today from our text. What does a healthy walk with the Lord look like? What does a healthy walk with the Lord look like? And so today is honoring the Lord, I've entitled today. How do we honor the Lord in our lives? And you see, Paul captures this really often in every aspect of our lives. He captures it to the Colossians. He says, it's one of our favorite verses, Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. You know it. Many of you will. Do it as if serving the Lord, as unto the Lord, for it is Christ Jesus you are serving in everything. Can you imagine what sort of plumber or what sort of teacher or what sort of homemaker or whatever it might be I would be if I was doing this constantly in the front of my mind for the King? And there's a question we can ask ourselves that might help. If Jesus were doing my role, was doing what I did, how would that work for Jesus? What sort of teacher would Jesus be? What sort of student would Jesus be? How would that work? And to find that out, we need to know his truth. So Paul captures this. But to honor him, do you know what? I could do a binary question now. Who here would like to honor the Lord? And no one will put their hand up because we don't like putting our hand up in public and we feel a bit embarrassed or humble or whatever it is. But you know, I think most people would say, I really want to honor the Lord. I really would like to. Some people are stuck in the unhealthy fear thing that we spoke about last week, where I'm just a comparison thing as well, like you mentioned, Liz, was great. But in order to honor the Lord, it sounds really basic, this, and you don't need a degree or anything to understand this, but we need to understand what he wants us to do. Paul says to the Ephesian church, find out what pleases the Lord. Isn't it strange that we can maybe say some prayer, and if following is an option, I don't need to really find out what he wants. I know whatever happens, I can stumble and fall through all sorts of catastrophes in my life and crises, and I'll get to heaven anyway in the end. I'm just not sure that's a great formula for really moving forward. And for a watching world that says, well, is that what transformation is? And I want to feel that tension. There's nothing wrong with a good bit of tension. Sometimes we want to remove all tension out of our lives. Tension's bad. Feeling good is good. Tension's great. Jesus introduced tension all the time to his disciples. You know, we're tired, Jesus. Well, you know, it'd take a year's salary to feed you. And he says, well, you feed them. That's tension. What do you mean you feed them? Yeah, unless you don't give up your mother and brothers and all this and follow me, you're not worthy to be called my disciple. That's tension. Now, did he really mean? We can look at that. Jesus didn't kind of try and eradicate tension. He almost create that sense of, oh, this lovely balance, and I don't always get that. I know that. But I want a balance in my own walk which says, Lord, I know you love me. I believe, and I want you to help me unbelief. And Lord, I don't want to be just flippant about the stuff I do that doesn't honor you. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be flippant about that stuff and say, well, next week I'm planning to dishonor you as well. And so it's really interesting that before the Lord, now he's appeared to the people on Sinai, to Moses and who's communicating to the people. And it says, he says the word of God comes, always comes. If I'm going to honour the Lord with him, I must allow his word in. Can I honestly say this pastorally? I speak to many people. It's not always the case. But often, they will say, I'm really struggling to, and they'll finish the sentence. And that's important. And I might say something very unconnected to their circumstance and say, so how are you finding accessing God's word at the moment? Honestly, I can guarantee they're struggling to do that. Most of the time. Most of the time. Often. Not always. Difficulties happen to all sorts of people who are plugged into Christ. In fact, probably more so. But it's perspective. The word of God gives me perspective on my crisis. And I really need that. And so we see here at the beginning, before the Lord starts to speak again, it says, the Lord said to Moses, tell the people this. You have seen for yourselves that I have spoken to you from heaven. Isn't God good? That we don't have to guess. I've spoken to you. Moses, you've seen I've spoken. You've had the commandments now, how to approach me and how to be with one another. I've spoken to you. I've not left you to guess how to be my people. And then he goes into some very strange things that Emma bravely read. And it's really one of those things, it's really interesting when you're looking at the commandments and something like this. Because if you read on to 20 through 23, 26, do not make, but do this, don't do this, do this. Now, one of the common things people say to me who are not yet believers say, oh, I don't really like the thought of Christianity because it's all about do's and don'ts. Has anyone ever heard that? Well, it kind of is a bit. But it's not about the do's and don'ts that get you to heaven. It's about those things that honour the Lord. So I've got a couple of headers today that are very, very simple. Is that we honour the Lord in what we don't do and we honour the Lord in what we do. Now that might communicate to you, if you're not a believer yet, well see, it's about what you do and don't do. Well, it isn't. It's not as far as our starter relationship with the King of Kings, who has made it possible for us to enter, to start off with that relationship. There's nothing we can do that can make us an inch closer to Christ or the Father, the Spirit. But what then happens is he says, well, you're my people and you want to please me because I've just heard you singing that beautiful song. I want you to rule in my heart. And I'm sure the Father and the angels of heaven would have looked down and been blessed. And I'm just wondering, because the Lord doesn't look at the outward appearances, he looks at the heart. What he saw in my heart when I was singing that. Was I singing it because I'm familiar, but looking out somewhere else? I found myself doing that. Has anyone else found herself focusing on something else while they're singing? Is that naughty of me to confess? Does it help you feel better about when you do that? It's so easy. And the Lord can see my desire and my lack of focus. But I'm sure he looks at me as his child and says, Keith, I see that. But you see, there are no shortcuts to honor the Lord. So today is how do we honor the Lord? So we have to presume that we've come to the cross. We've said, Lord Jesus, thank you for the cross. Thank you that because of that I can start and enter that relationship with the Father. I don't deserve it. Nothing I could do or don't do has ever, ever changed that. But by your grace and mercy, you've called me now to follow you. Not just to go to heaven. And this is what the whole thing's about. About following. Once we've turned to him, the call is follow me. It always was at the beginning. Follow me and I will make you fishes of men. And I'm really pleased that Liz quoted Peter, because exactly, we have it here, not just from the Mount Sinai, but we have it where Peter says to the newly constituted church in the New Testament, he has given us everything we need to live a godly life through our knowledge of him. As we learn about the character of God, I'm not talking academics and reading all the time or hearing, as we take in and start to understand the very character of God, I'm amazed at how much God loves me in the detail. Really silly things that matter to no one else. I remember telling you about when our girls were small and we bought them a brand new climbing frame, and it was the day before we went on holiday. It was a bad move. because it was a brilliant big climbing frame, and you know, they loved this climbing frame. And then we said, well, you can't play on it now because tomorrow we're going on holiday. Oh, my word. Never mind. We should have kept it in the box. But we didn't, because God. And this was a red and blue and a really odd looking thing, all different colours, and it was huge. I think I caught my finger on it several times, I do. So we drove away with the girls, you know, we paid all this money for this caravan holiday, and we drove away, and the girls, you know, fed up this frame's distance. And we got there, and the lady in the caravan, in the park, who was managing, said, oh yeah, your number, whatever it is, your caravan park. And honest, guess what was outside? Our caravan. Yes, a climbing frame, but that climbing frame. Now, we didn't lie and say, yeah, well, we brought it with us. Get the glory, parents. Kids think we're superheroes. No, we just, isn't God amazing? Now, you know, the cynic here is going to say, Keith, that climbing frame was probably there. Look at the paperwork in the office. They bought it on the 16th. Come on, please. God needn't have put us in that caravan. It was ours. It was empty most of the, you know, our girls were on it. It was great, wasn't it? Remember, Leslie? And they're the things that mean that the Lord just says, I love walking with you. And then we let him down. But there are no shortcuts to honouring the Lord. So how do we honour the Lord? As his word comes, I want to learn to read your word. The same chorus used to say to me, I want to walk with Jesus Christ all the days I live on this life of earth. You know, it's a beautiful chorus. And I want to learn to read your word, for this is how I know the way, and all this sort of, it's beautiful. But there are no shortcuts outside of God's word and his spirit. And that communicates through his people, the spirit directly through dreams, through the printed and listened word, and all of this. There's no shortcut for following, allowing his word total access to my life. So we honor him in what we don't do. Did you see what the Lord said? Do not make any gods. Do not do this. Alongside me in 23. Do not make any gods. You're going to honor me, Moses and the people, and you're going to do that by not doing this. Isn't it strange that you can honor someone by not doing something? We like to be busy and do all the time. But there's so many things we don't do that honour the Lord. Isn't it lovely? Not doing things can honour the Lord. It doesn't mean you're lazy. It's not a kind of a mandate for laying in bed all day. It's just wonderful to know that I the Lord loves me when I don't do certain things. It's great. And do not make any gods to be alongside me. Do not make for yourselves gods of silver or gods of gold. Don't put things on a par with me, people. Is there something on a par with the Lord? I think we know. I know some people who are obsessed with certain things and they struggle for Sundays, for example. Look, I don't want to make this a legalistic gathering. I just know when I love someone, I want to be with them and the people. I do. I want to be. Now, there are genuine things that keep us apart. And this isn't a hidden telling off. This is about, Lord, I want to honor you. And I know it can be a real struggle when there's things that take our attention and time. And I don't want to become where we end up being legalistic, that, well, you know, there used to be, I was in a church once where they'd say, bless them, it changed over years. Not because I had anything to do with it, you know, I was serving in a way, but they used to say things like, you know, if you come on a Sunday morning, you love the church. If you come on a Sunday night, you love the pastor. And if you come on the midweek service as well, you love the Lord. I mean, that's heavy, that is heavy shepherding. You want heavy shepherding, that's our motto next year. I mean, I'm not doing it, okay? I'm just saying, you know, and we would all spill out of our houses to just, I love the Lord, I'm here on Tuesday night Bible study. Hey, we start this week, by the way. I know you love the Lord already, don't worry. But they are good, I think. However attractive and shiny, don't make anything on a par with me, gold or silver, However shiny or attractive it is, put me. If I'm going to rule in your heart, you know what a ruler is? They're on the throne. They're totally on the throne. And when someone's on the throne, they dictate what goes on. And we find out by listening to what they say. It sounds really obvious. Imagine in everything, saying, Lord, what is it you want me to do today? Who is it you want me to call? All that sort of thing. The things we give our priority to are the focus for me. I just love the example of Jesus. He had so many demands, didn't he? Everyone wanted a slice of Jesus. And he had to spend time with the Father. I had to do this. I just wonder, I say this a lot, but how often, how much more do we? And there are some things we need to reject. Do not make any gods alongside me. Differentiate yourself from the obsessions of the world. Differentiate yourselves from the obsessions of the world. You know, I think today one of the great things people worship today is themselves. We are obsessed with ourselves. How many people? Now, those of you who are observant will realize I don't use social media too much, but I did post a funny video of my youngest daughter, who's not very young, in a box. We had this huge box with a delivery, and for some bizarre reason, she must, to de-stress after a long shift, she said, I wonder if I can get in that box. And I videoed it and posted it up for all her mature friends to see what she gets up to when she's not handcuffing people or whatever it is. That's a bit of fun, and maybe I don't know if that's good or not, but people, you know, I'm going to take a picture of my dinner, and I'm really sorry if you do that. That's tragic. It's kind of borderline cruel as well, if I'm at home having beans on toast. But you see, so often, particularly with young adults and young people, we know that behind the poses, because there's so many really well put together videos actually, which talk about the threat of overdoing this and presenting a filter on life when I'm breaking apart. And I love a God in heaven who wants me, when I'm really down and when I'm really sad and life's not good, to come and say, I'm really broken. And it's okay, God, because you're not going to reject me. And that's beautiful. Because it's very easy to try and present something that we're not. There's something beautiful about the life that knows they are loved by God. Do you know you're loved by God this morning? I think I find it so much easier to follow him when I focus on how much he loves me. I really do. It's beautiful. And this oozes out, I hope, to others. And also, this extends to the way we conduct our private lives. We saw in 25 and 26. There. If you make an altar of stones for me, do not build it with dressed stones, for you will defile it as you use a tool. I'm really going to say how to do this. Do not go upon the altar or steps, or you'll be exposed. God cares about what that says to me. We could see that as a quirky little sentence, or we can say, actually, God cares about the most private of places for us. What am I doing when no one is watching? What am I clicking on the internet? What am I viewing? What am I listening to? What are my conversations like in the most private places when God sees me and says, come on. Is that how you honor me? And do you know, I find it hard. When I was in industry for years, the workplace is a cauldron of gossip. Who here struggles not to get involved? Come on. Who here? I mean, if they're in the barrel, it's not you, is it? Let's face it. It's good, you know, one, we're relieved it's not us. I can guarantee one day it might be if that's the sort of environment you're in. But the fact of the matter is, you know, it's so easy to get drawn into, yeah. And God says, in that private place, don't be exposed here. And you might want to read beyond that. I'm not going to exegete what he's talking about in that It's quite clear and obvious, a good practical thing in them days. But don't be exposed in those private places. The way we do things, I'm just amazed by the psalm that tells me that God knows what I think before I think it, what I'm going to think. Paul talks about our thoughts being made captive. It's that sort of level of following I want. You know, when you're doing this sort of thing, have some kind of dignity in those private places. Preserve my honor. Don't trade that in. It's challenging for me. What we don't do matters publicly and privately. What we don't do really matters. Do you know, maybe someone in your church, imagine someone saying, or in your workplace, what's your church like? I wonder if you could say, well, come to my house. It's exactly the same. We talk exactly the same to one another. Just come to my house. You'll see what it's like in church. I've got to say, it always gets me. Is that true of me? Is it really true of me? Is my home a place where the Lord is honored? What about our workplace? Was that separate? So you see, if I've got a gospel in my heart that says I've got a ticket to heaven because I believe Christ died for me and that's enough for me, nothing needs to change, then those places can remain out of bounds because I don't need to follow. But when I follow and Jesus sits in my staff room and Jesus is in that private place, he's there sat next to me when I'm home alone on the internet. Wow. We honor him in what we don't do, but can I just move quickly on and say we honor him in what we do as well. Jesus says he's going to honor those who honor him. 24 and 25 we see here. We honor him in what we do. Make an altar. I want you to do something. He doesn't say, God's not a God, just don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. I want you to do something. How do we do it, Lord? Make an altar of earth for me and sacrifice on it. It's going to be a place of sacrifice and burnt offerings, of worship and sacrifice. I want you to do this. Really want you to do that. And fellowship of your sheep and goats and your cattle to be offered on there. Wherever I cause my name to be honored. And I will come to you and bless you. If you make an altar of stones for me, do not build it with dressed stones, for you will defile it. Don't use it with stones that you've fashioned. You'll defile it if you use a tool on there. This is really detailed, isn't it? God cares about the detail. Do things, says God. Whatever you get out of this about stones or tools or whatever, God says, this is how you are to live for me, and I want you to do it this way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I want you to do it this way. Approach me in this way. Do this in remembrance of me. Communion speaks to us of a God's revealed way of relationship. Now the new covenant with Christ. And as the Creator, he has the right in my heart, was created to tell me what to do. To show me what he wants. And that's not a telling. It's a loving case. Come on. You can do better. This is better than that, Keith. What we do matters, and how we do it matters. What I really got from this week, I was really focusing. Some of these verses are hard to speak on. My Lord was really kind of particular. Don't forget, don't use a tool on this, and don't do this, and use the, when you do it, make sure you do this. What we do matters, but how we do it matters as well. I can do it with a song in my heart to the King, or I can begrudgingly strike the rock. I've often said to the leaders and anyone who listens to me here, the very minute I strike the rock, by that I get resentful like Moses when he asked for water again. I won't do this anymore if there's a resentful spirit in my heart. I want to do it because I love this place and the people and the ministry God has called. Now, and the Lord says, I want you to do it with sacrifice. I want you to do it with sacrifice and fellowship. I just wondered if our home is a place of sacrifice and fellowship. Do you know what I mean by that? Are we happy to put ourselves out to honour the Lord in what we do? You're exhausted from a busy week. The last thing you want to do is host a life group. Yeah. If that person calls one more time about the same issue, I swear. Can I serve with sacrifice and fellowship? And this challenges me. I have to say the second one. I should be better at this. I'm sometimes one sentence away from saying, get over it. And that's a confession. And the Lord says, Keith, you have no right. You're not the fixer. I am. Just lead them to me. Don't let them put you between me and them. Get out the way. Point them to me. And then I will work on their lives. Don't put me in the way. I'm rubbish at this. Come to him. And the Lord says, offer sacrifices. Build for me and offer. A sacrifice is when you don't feel like doing it. I've said it before. When I discovered what a sacrifice of praise was, I thought, wow, it's worshipping and praising him when you just feel like the opposite. When I'm in a good place, I can sing all the songs all day. When I feel broken and in pain, and that Lord is quiet, I don't know the way, and I stand and I sing. It's a beautiful sacrifice of praise to the King who's ruler of my heart. You're doing really well. Because you see, to the world that watches in the staff room and the world that watches elsewhere, sacrificial service doesn't make sense and it really stands out. And what the Lord says in the second part of 24 as we do that, and the Lord says, and I'm going to come and bless you as you do that. It's not why we do it. This isn't prosperity. But the Lord says, as you honor me, as you sacrifice and you're tired and you go again and you go again and you go again, I'm going to come and bless you. Now what that looks like, I think that is about an inner sense of who he is. I want to be blessed by increasing in my love for him. That's the blessing I crave. I don't want a different car. Why should we? Why should we serve the King like that? Paul says it like this. Brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, Romans 12, undeserved completely. Not getting what we do deserve, it's mercy. In view of his mercy, offer yourselves as living sacrifices. In view of God's mercy, I want you to do that, says Paul. And it covers every area of life. And from now on, as we go through some verses after this, you'll see some dysfunctionality. I don't know what your family's like, but I don't suppose you've got a bull that starts to maul your neighbor. You might wish you had one. We'll have to pray about that. But we're going to see some serious dysfunctionality in the coming weeks. And God working in the mess that is us. It's so crazy. How does he do it? Isn't it mad? See, we can talk as we bring this down today about discipleship, about following the King, following Christ, until the Lord comes back. We can buy as many how to follow books, go through as many courses as we want. But if it doesn't come from a place coupled with last week where we have a healthy fear of the Lord, where we want to honor the Lord in what we do and don't do with that sacrificial heart, that we might then wonder why things never change. Because I'm obsessed with me. And to be frank, if I can get away with the minimum I can and make it about me, maybe that's sometimes where I come from. And I don't even consciously think I even comprehend that. I need the Lord to come and change my mind. That's what the whole repentance is. Metanoia. It's a complete change of mind. Because that's where our battle is won and lost so often. And I want to pray, Lord, change my heart. Give me a passion to follow you. To develop a healthy fear of you. A desire to honor you in everything. In the public places. In the intimate private places. Let me be open to your word, Lord, as it comes to me. May I give your word access to all areas. And then from this platform, in the light of your great mercy, in everything I do and don't do, help me to follow you for your glory. Amen. We're going to say an extract together from the General Confession of the Common Prayer Book. And it should be on there. And so, it's about 3 or 4 slides. We'll say it together and maybe just reflect. I think it's good sometimes just to allow us to soak in. And shall we say, most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. And Almighty and most merciful Father, we have wandered and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things that we ought to have done. And we have done those things that we ought not to have done. And there is no health in us. But you, O Lord, have mercy upon us sinners. Spare those who confess their faults. Restore those who are penitent. According to your promises, declared to mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may live a disciplined, righteous and godly life to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Wow. And I want that individually to come. And I want to mean that. And I think it'd be good as we set out communion. Is there any chance we could sing a song, Liz? Is that okay? As we prepare for this time. You see, what I love about communion, can I say, is that the Lord Jesus knew we were frail. He knew we would fail, that we would let him down. And what he does with communion, he constantly reminds us of his great love and purposes and of his kingdom plan. I think the importance here is that perhaps we've seen this solely as a table of forgiveness, which it is a table of forgiveness. But actually it's a table that expresses the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, until he comes. It's a table that declares the glorious gospel that Christ came to usher in his rule and reign in our hearts and in the whole cosmos. That he came as the ruler, the deliverer, the Messiah. That he came to declare the kingdom, to live that life, to die that death in my place. To then raise again and conquer death. And then to call us to follow him in fullness of life. That we might honor him in all we do and don't do. Isn't that a glorious gospel? Let's not miss the following off as we seek together to serve him. Thank you so much, Liz. Appreciate that.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.